Hassan Kabir from Number One Solicitors on Stray FM's Family Show.
So it is regularly labelled as Divorce Month, January. And just before Christmas, we heard from Hassan Kabir and Number One Solicitors about a specific type of couple who may be thinking about getting divorced. This month, I have welcomed back Hassan. Hello.
Hello, Beth.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit more generally. What is it then about January? Why is January labelled as Divorce Month?
Unfortunately, Beth, it's a month where couples decide to separate, and this can be due to a number of reasons. Commonly, you'll find that couples may hold off a breakup during Christmas, perhaps to avoid family disruptions, especially where the children are involved, and they may feel that the new year is a good time to start their new life. You may have other reasons where couples may realise after spending much time together that they've simply grown apart.
Do you need a valid reason to divorce?
Anyone wishing to anchor a divorce to their marriage would need to prove that there has been an irretrievable breakdown of their marriage. Now, this can be done by proving one of five reasons. The first reason would be unreasonable behaviour. This is the most common fault-based ground for a divorce being pursued. The second reason is adultery. You'd usually require an admission of adultery or some kind of evidence to be able to prove this.
Okay, reason number three?
Is 2-year separation by consent. And that's where parties have been living apart for at least 2 years from the commencement of starting the divorce. And both parties agree to the divorce. The fourth reason is a 5-year separation without consent. And this is essentially where parties have been living apart from each other for at least 5 years. The final reason is desertion, and essentially that's where one party has left the other for at least 2 years without mutual consent of both parties, without good reason, for the purpose of ending the relationship.
So there are five different reasons then. You need at least one of them to begin divorce proceedings. We'll create a couple. It often makes it sort of the most easy way to explain the situation. So let's have a couple called Paul and Laura. Paul and Laura have 2 children. Both of them worked full time. And then when they had the children, both of them continued to work full time. What are the options here? What are the different things that they could do, options that they could explore?
Laura may want to consider as a starting point the children. If they were to remain with Laura, and depending on whether the property was not owned by Laura and how acrimonious the breakup was, I'd advise that she considers registering appropriate charges on the property. The charge would ultimately protect Laura's position in that property, which would mean that she could safely stay put with her children during the divorce process.
And what different options are there for the children? I'm presuming that they still want to see their mummy Laura and their daddy Paul. How does that work?
I'd normally advise that it's more amicable and more cost-effective if parties could agree what level of contact would be had between the two. So it would be beneficial if Laura could agree what level of contact Paul would have in terms of spending time with the children. And this is important to minimise the impact of separation on children.
Do you think it has an impact on the children? I think a lot of that maybe depends on the age of the children, but what impact do you think it has on them?
Unfortunately, more often but not, children won't tell you about how they're feeling about a divorce, but their behaviour will. Sometimes children can feel a sense of responsibility for a breakup, or even anxious about losing a parent, so it's really important that they are reassured through the process. Now, child contact for parents, fathers, and even grandparents will be an interesting topic that I'll be covering in the sessions ahead.
What if, and I guess this is probably quite a common scenario that you've dealt with at Number One Solicitors, if Laura had worked full-time and then after she had the kids, she moved down to either not working or working part-time, would that affect how the divorce is going to work?
So that's a really good question there. The role of parties throughout the marriage is something that would be carefully considered. If she had stayed at home looking after the children and perhaps had given up or sacrificed a career aspiration, which would have got her a higher income, which has then allowed Paul to be able to build on his success. It could be argued that a higher proportion of the settlement could be considered for Laura.
How do you start assessing a financial situation? Because it must be complicated and vastly different from one couple to another. How do you assess that?
It can be. And in terms of quantifying an assessment, I'd potentially be looking at Paul's employment contract to assess promotional prospects, including any pay rises, any bonuses, which can sometimes be tactically deferred to be received after a divorce. Depending on the case, I'd even potentially go as far as looking at Paul's role within the open market to see what kind of a salary is attainable for his kind of position.
So we'll leave it there then with the, every single divorce is very, very different. Every couple is very different. And I get the impression from you, Ehsan, and the team at Number One Solicitors, it's very much about the person that comes to you and approaches you and you have that conversation with.
Absolutely. I'm always open to having a free, confidential 15-minute consultation with anyone that's going through any family issues. They can contact me at my office on 01423 224 500, or they can hop onto our website, which is one as in the digit one, solicitors.co.uk, or they can type in Number One Solicitors Harrogate.
Ehsan Kabir from Number One Solicitors on Stray FM's Family Show.